Good evening. In the news tonight, New York City's council speaker and some council members weigh in on Donald Trump's victories. President Barack Obama says there's time to approve a replacement for Justice Scalia, and he's going to put forth a nominee. New York State's governor has embarked on a statewide tour to promote his call to increase the minimum wage. And the Yankees manager says the team misses Yogi Berra. With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Wednesday, February 24th, 2016.
We love Nevada. We love Nevada.
Bravado won the day in Nevada. It was Trump's third straight victory in the race for the Republican presidential nomination. He won 14 delegates in the state. Trump now has 81 delegates. Cruz and Rubio have 17 apiece. Kasich has 6 delegates and Carson has 4. It takes 1,237 delegates to win the Republican nomination for president. New York City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito.
You know, we've been saying for months that Donald Trump is the philosophical leader of the Republican Party, right, in terms of the positions. And every other candidate seems to have kind of followed his lead. And now it appears that he's going to be the presumptive nominee of the party.
We won with young. We won with old. We won with highly educated. We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated. We're the smartest people. We're the most loyal people. And you know what I really am happy about, because I've been saying it for a long time. 46% with the Hispanics, 46%, number one with Hispanics.
Speaker Mark Viverito says Trump's views are dangerous, bigoted, and that statistics about the Latino vote in Nevada are misleading.
Look at the percentage of the exit or entry polls. If you put a numerical value to it, he probably got 150 Latino votes. He's definitely someone that is energizing a base of those that feel particularly attacked by the vitriol that he's espousing. So I think we have a responsibility to encourage people that don't believe in that to come out and vote aggressively and to denounce the positions he has stated without any sort of hesitation, and I think fueling a level of hate that is very scary. And I've been seeing that kind of ramp up a little bit on Twitter too, particularly against me. some of the comments that I've heard. So I think that it's cultivating and generating people feeling really comfortable and free to express and rant about their hate for certain people and divisiveness.
The speaker says these concerns speak to the urgency of getting out the vote.
I'm excited that he's leading the Republican nomination. I hope he wins the Republican nomination.
According to Brooklyn Council member Jamani Williams, it's a good thing Trump is winning because he brings out the truth of what some people have been hiding.
For a very long time, the conservatives have been actually saying these things in more of a disguised way. And so they're seemingly shocked that a Trump would come out. But that's the logical conclusion of all the things they've been trying to do. And so I'm glad there's someone there who's, you know, tired of hiding the hate, tired of hiding how much they want to divide the country further. I am sorry for the people who are supporting him, because I know that they're really angry about the way things are. And he's irresponsible in taking advantage of that. And we've seen that irresponsibility throughout history cost many people their lives.
William says Trump's winning is a good thing from the standpoint of inclusion.
How can we include people in the American dream? How can we make sure that they move forward? How can we take down the barriers? When the people are saying there really are no barriers, it's just people who are lazy and things of that nature. And we're saying, no, there really are. There are people who are stuck behind barriers. There are people who don't like people for particular reasons and who want to divide people. And he's proof positive that that's really what is going on. And so sometimes when you have the Confederate flag flying, it shows what people really think, as opposed to them saying that's not how they think.
But Williams agrees that it's a sad commentary.
It is a sad commentary. It's not what I'm hoping America will be. But it's hard for America to really achieve what it needs to without honest conversation. And so hopefully his divisiveness and hatred will force us to have that conversation.
Councilmember Yadonis Rodriguez from Manhattan says he's not just concerned about Trump.
My concern is the millions of people who live in this nation that unfortunately identify with a message of hate toward women, toward immigrants, when this nation has been built by immigrants coming from all over the nation. It doesn't matter if that immigrant as New Yorkers was a Greek, was a Jewish, was from American, was a Latino. I think that he doesn't represent what this nation is all about. And I hope that as we will continue moving forward toward other states, the voters should think twice, understanding that Trump doesn't represent what this nation is all about. And I hope also that from the Democratic side, we can be able to come out with a great candidate.
Rodriguez is hoping that the tide is going to change as Republicans switch their attention to the March 1st primaries.
As we move forward through all the state with the Super Tuesday, I hope that voters think twice before putting his name in the ballot.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Republican leaders say they won't vote on any Supreme Court nominee submitted by President Obama. Instead, they want to revisit the vote after the presidential election in November. Today, President Obama said we've already seen a breakdown of the judicial process.
It becomes harder and harder to get any candidates for the judiciary confirmed.
Obama worries that the credibility of the court could diminish if it's viewed simply as an extension of the nation's politics.
This is a Republican judge, or this is a Democratic judge, as opposed to this is a Supreme Court justice who's supposed to be standing above the day-to-day politics that take place. So I understand the posture that they're taking right now. I get the politics of it. I'm sure they're under enormous pressure from their base and their constituencies around this issue. I've talked to many of them, and I've told them I'm sympathetic. And by the way, there's not a lot of vigor when they defend the position that they're taking, that they wouldn't even meet, for example, with a Supreme Court nominee. They're pretty sheepish about it when they make those comments. So we'll see how this plays itself out. But I'm going to do my job. I'm going to nominate somebody and let the American people decide as to whether that person is qualified. And if they are qualified, let the American people decide whether there's enough time for the U.S. Senate to hold hearings and have a vote.
The president says from what he sees, it's not that the Senate calendar is so full that there isn't time to get this done. In other news, Governor Andrew Cuomo has taken his call for a statewide minimum wage of $15 an hour on the road. Andrea Sears reports.
Surrounded by union members and city officials, the governor announced his Drive for $15 campaign at a rally in Manhattan Tuesday morning. He says New York is creating more jobs than ever, but those jobs are polarized between good pay for a few and low pay for the rest as the gap between rich and poor continues to grow.
What we can do to make a difference is stand up for the middle class, stand up for the working families, make work pay, and that means raise the minimum wage to $15 so you can actually raise a family.
Cuomo says raising the minimum wage would benefit 2.3 million workers and boost direct spending power by almost $16 billion. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And finally, Yankee closer Aroldis Chapman is under investigation. This for an incident at his home in Florida in October involving his girlfriend. Chapman said he would appeal any suspension to baseball's arbitrator. Elizabeth Brockway has the story.
The New York Yankees made headlines in late December when they traded for All-Star closer Aroldis Chapman, one of the hardest throwing pitchers in the league. His fastball routinely tops 100 miles an hour. So for him to be a Yankee, that's great news, right? For fans like 26-year-old Oscar Valeriano, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm excited, because that bolsters our bullpen. We want to go to the World Series.
But not everyone is so thrilled. Moving to the Yankees wasn't the only news Chapman made this offseason.
More than a dozen police officers were called to Chapman's home in response to a domestic disturbance, where he admitted to shooting his gun multiple times in the garage.
There's more. According to the police report, Chapman choked his girlfriend and pushed her against a wall. And after the news first broke, other teams in the market for a closer were spooked by the controversy. But not the Yankees. They sensed a bargain was in the offing and acquired Chapman for a few modest prospects. And last month, the Broward County, Florida State Attorney's Office announced no charges would be filed against the All-Star. But that's not the end of the story. Major League Baseball has a new domestic violence policy, and the Chapman incident will be its most high-profile test case. Brian Pacheco is the director of public relations for Safe Horizon, the largest victim services nonprofit in the United States. He comes from a family of Yankees fans, but he's more a fan of the new policy.
Because it shows that they're taking allegations of domestic violence seriously, and based on what they find, they will act appropriately. And it's also important to know, just because you don't press charges doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
If he did what he had to do, he deserves his suspension.
Sean Clark, a bartender at Yankee Tavern, a bar around the corner from the famous Bronx Stadium.
But you know what? Until he's proven guilty, I would say that we shouldn't pass judgment on him right now.
And for Victor Bryant, without a legal conviction, there's just one factor that will keep him from cheering on Chapman when he takes the mound.
If he sucks as a player, the rascal should be kicked out of the Bronx. But if he steps up and plays and he delivers, that's all that matters.
Question remains, will the new star closer be donning pinstripes come opening day on April 4th? Elizabeth Brockway, Columbia Radio News.
Aroldis Chapman is denying allegations. He says he hasn't heard from Major League Baseball about possible discipline under the sport's new domestic violence policy. A decision is expected by opening day. Meanwhile, in spring training, players are getting more rest because of a change in policy. They get to sleep in. The team is experimenting with starting its spring workday closer to noon so that players get more time to rest because they play at night. And finally, this is the first spring training since the death of Yankees great Yogi Berra. The Yankees are continuing to wear Berra's number 8 on the sleeves of their jerseys. Yankees manager Joe Giraldi said, "I think it's difficult for all of us. There was always that hope he would show up at spring training. You know, if he wasn't at spring training, we'd see him opening day. We all know that's changed." And that's the WBAI Evening News for Wednesday, February 24th. The news was produced with help from Eileen Alfandary, Andrea Sears, Elizabeth Brockway, and Reggie Johnson. I'm Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.